Amen. And welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It is so great to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and I am grateful to you and hope you are ready to worship God today. Amen. That's why we came. Amen. We're all brothers and sisters in here, and we welcome you, especially if you are a guest of ours this morning. We want you to feel right at home and feel like you are a part of the family of God, because you are when you walk in those doors, and I thank each and every one of you. We'd like to begin our service with a passing of the peace, and we turn to our neighbors and we say, "Peace be with you," and the response is, "And also with you," and we give them a hug or a kiss, or sometimes we shake the hand because they're sick and we don't want to get their germs, and that happens too. But let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning, Calvary. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I see the sunshine coming through those blinds, and what a blessed day it is that God has made. Welcome to everyone here at Calvary. Like I always say, what a beautiful way to start our week in the house of God with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, my name is Robin, and I am filling in for Diane, who has done an outstanding job, and I'm very proud of her for stepping up to the plate and getting out of her comfort zone. So if you see her sometime in the near future, let her know what a great job she did, okay? Please look in your bulletins. We have a big insert on Ash Wednesday. That's coming up. It's going to be on a Wednesday, March 1st. So please put this on your calendar. I'm not going to read it. It's all right there, everything you need to know. I would like to highlight next Sunday, which will be February 26th. That will also be Scout Sunday. Woohoo for the Scouts. And we will also be having a 6 o'clock council meeting, and we will be doing some goal setting there. So, everyone, this is your house. No, it's God's house and your church. We are the church. And so, everyone is invited to come to these council meetings. You can listen. You can give a suggestion. You know, we need all of that around here. So, we welcome all of that. So, please be here next week for that. Do we have anything else from the community that needs to be announced? Okay, if not, would you please turn to the back of your bulletins for the opening words. Teach us, O Lord, all of your ways. give me understanding that we may keep your covenant. Lead us in the path of your commandments. Turn our hearts to your decrees. In this time of worship, lead us to draw closer to you. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to number 402, we will sing, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe. God help our unbelief.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough. in all responsible use of the earth's resources.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace.
We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Wonderful to see everybody today. I want to show you something. I have here some popsicle sticks. And you were going to say that? You were going to say that? Wow. And what I'm going to tell you is that one of these popsicle sticks has a special star on it. And that makes you very special if you get the popsicle stick with the special star on it. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to pick one, but I don't want you to show it to anybody else, okay? You can look at it, but don't let anybody else see what you've got, all right? Can you pick one? Pick one. And then you're going to hold on to it real quietly, okay? Chanel, can you pick one? Okay, can you pick one? Okay, Radley? Zachary. He corrects me. Okay, how about you, AJ? That one is the one you want? Okay, hold on to it. Don't show anybody what it is, okay? We're going to see in just a minute. Okay, this one's for Ashton. Okay. Now then, where the big reveal is coming, how many of you, by raising your hand, who got the star on their stick? All of you got the star? Well, my goodness, that must mean you're all very special. You were about to say that too, Zachary. Zachary is reading my mind this morning. He knows, what am I going to say next? Yes, you're all special. And I want you to know that especially on days when life gets hard, say something happened in school with one of your friends or with a teacher or even at home with your mom or dad or your grandmother or granddaddy, sometimes we have a tough day and a tough time. But as sad as we can feel, I want you to know that God still thinks each and every one of you are special. each one of you is given God's love, and I don't want you ever to forget it. So if you forget it, I want you to look at that star on your popsicle stick and know how special you are. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you, O God, for all these children and for many, many others. We pray your blessing upon them as they grow in your grace and strength, and pray, dear God, that they follow in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, you get to keep them. And now you can have a piece of candy. I see that. Whoops. Here you go. It's a little... All right. Here you go, sweetheart. All right. There you go. She found the right one. All right. I want to invite the ushers to come forward as we prepare to receive the morning offering. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for the gifts that you provide us so generously. We know, O God, that we could never repay you, but you don't ask us to. You just ask us to love you back and to love our neighbors. And so we give a symbol of what we have for your work and for your church, because it's all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Beautiful song. It's been a while since I've heard that one, and thank you for doing it. I appreciate it. I have a couple of people that we need to know about this morning before we go to God in prayer. You know, Jean's story is combating cancer, undergoing chemo treatment, but her platelets are so out of whack that they're putting it off for a week, so she's going to skip one of her treatments to try to get her blood level back to where it's supposed to be. Our dear friend, Bill Cook, is in the hospital at St. Vincent's Clay with a very bad flu and pneumonia and emphysema, and is really struggling, is having a very hard time. And Sally's, of course, also there with him. He also broke, when they were on their cruise, he fell and broke his collarbone. So he's just had a lot to deal with. And so we want to remember Bill and Sally this morning. And we know that Rose Marie Googler had her house damaged in the storm and has been living temporarily in the Hilton Hotel, and will soon be moved to a temporary apartment because it will take 6 to 9 months for her house to be repaired. And so we want to continue to remember Rose Marie. And we found out this week that her sister Mert is in the hospital. She is at Orange Park Hospital suffering from breathing problems due to a heart condition, and she needs our prayers as well this morning. And I want to offer up a special prayer to those who are visiting with us and our guests today. I especially want to welcome you and thank you for being here and being a part of this congregation this morning and being a part of our family. You make us complete, and I'm so glad that you were here. I appreciate that. And we will pray together by going to God, bowing our heads and closing our eyes, trying to center yourself a little bit to remove all distractions, and take a few deep breaths and feel your heart and mind opening up to God. When you feel called to do so, you may say the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that needs to have God's healing touch today, or praise and thanksgiving that need to be lifted up to God today.
Joe Shields and family.
Sharon Harris.
Benny Thompson.
All those travelers.
Sue.
Praise that Brian's birthday is this week. He'll be 26.
Whether spoken or unspoken, you hear our prayers, dear God. We lay them at your feet with trust and confidence, knowing that you are at work in our lives before we even know it or feel it. You are there. And we need just to call upon your name, and you will be there for all our needs. Dear God, help us to be the people you have called us to be here at Calvary, We are on a mission. And we need to let others know how much you love them. Because the world needs to know just how much God loves them. We pray your blessing upon those we have named and those that remain unnamed as we go to God in the prayer that he taught his disciples by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would stand and look to the screen behind me, we will sing, My Life is in You, Lord.
This morning in our scripture, which is found in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Some of you know the story of Victor Hugo, Les Miserables. I'm going to remind you of it if you have forgotten it or don't know it. It's the story that starts out with a man called Jean Valjean is his name. And he's an ex-con. He's just been released from almost 20 years in prison for stealing bread for his sister's children. But as he re-enters society, no one will house him or give him work or give him a second chance because of his criminal record. That is, until he stumbles into the bishop's house. Much to Valjean's surprise, the bishop treats him with kindness and hospitality. But the bishop leaves the room for a moment, and Jean Valjean takes the opportunity to steal from the bishop his silver plate. And he flees into the night. But instead of being angry and offering condemnation, the bishop examines his own behavior and finds himself lacking. He says to himself, I have wrongly withheld this silver. It belonged to the poor. Who was this man who came to see me? He was poor, surely. In the meantime, the police have recaptured Valjean, and they brought him back to the bishop's house with the goods on him, the silver plate. He's caught red-handed. But the bishop calmly greets him and says, but I gave you the candlesticks also. Why did you not take them along with the plates? And the police, of course, have nothing left to do but to let Valjean go. And he goes, and his life is changed forever because of what the bishop did for him. In this story, Jean Valjean expects blame and condemnation for his action. But instead, he receives forgiveness and mercy. He expects hatred and animosity, but instead he receives love and grace. And at that moment, evil is transformed into good. The story that Robin read for us today is from the Sermon on the Mount, and it summarizes the gospel news, the good news which we have received, and the good news which we are called to live. Jesus' words in the gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, focus on how we're supposed to treat others. But they're based upon the way that God treats us. Loving enemies, forgiving negative experiences, and giving and expecting nothing in return. Offering mercy instead of blame and condemnation. This is all God. This is God's story and what God does for us. God put a rainbow promise in the sky even though we hadn't earned it. God made manna to fall from heaven even though the wandering Israelites, all they could do when they left Egypt was complain. In Jesus' most difficult parable, the vineyard owner, who is God, pays the one-hour workers the same amount that he pays the eight-hour workers, and thus gives them and us not what we deserve, but what we need. And in the tale of the prodigal son, we meet a God who rejoices when a sinner comes home. Over and over and over again, God gives us grace instead of grief. God gives us blessing instead of blame. God gives us comfort instead of condemnation. And in the serendipity of those moments, we are changed as a result. But, my friends, it's one thing for God to be gracious to us. It's quite another for us to do the same. After all, we live in the real world, and we must be practical, cautious, sensible. Loving our enemies and turning the other cheek is dangerous business. Foolhardy sometimes and contrary to our own best interests. So we need to be right. We need to be safe. We need to be number one, always to be in control of the situation. That's the only way to preserve your skin. We live in a world where if we get robbed or mugged, we press charges. We live in a world where after our parents die and sibling rivalries turn into warfare, millions and thousands of dollars of hours are spent contesting wills and fighting over family heirlooms. We live in a world where it is eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Resentment and retaliation, judgment and blame are tightly woven into the fabric of our human nature. This reaction to the bad things in life is learned behavior in a world where self comes first. But it is the disease of the soul which God comes to heal us of. When he eats with Zacchaeus, when he forgives and empowers the woman at the well, when he breaks bread with Judas, and when he gives authority to Peter, Jesus gives them, as he gives to us, grace. He gives us the benefit of the doubt, the gift of a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance. And for some, a fifth chance and a sixth chance. The lavish and generous blessing of unconditional love. And then Jesus asks us to do the same. To take the risk. To make the decision to follow him. And he asks us to be foolish enough to spurn the ways of the world and do things in a new and different way. This is a new ethic, a new way of being in the world, to love our enemies, to turn the other cheek, to forgive no matter what. It's what Jesus wants of us, but does it make sense? Does it work even? Or is this an offense in our dog-eat-dog world? So is it realistic, for example, to expect the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing to forgive their attacker? To forgive him and to love him? Is it appropriate to ask a battered wife to forgive and to pray for the one who abuses her? To offer the other cheek to the husband who struck the first one? These values may be fine for a Messiah, but for those of us who have been the victims, in the real world, they are offensive and dangerous. Unless we look at them in a different way. Because to love our enemy is to take charge of the situation, to refrain from just responding as a victim. To love our enemy is to change the situation, to take the initiative to relate to our victimizers in a different way. Literally, to take the power out of their hands and to put it in ours in a positive way. It means to make a decision to respond to them in ways which will benefit them and perhaps lead to healing. But you have to hear me clearly that this is not to suggest that we sit back and submit to abuse. That's not it whatsoever. It does not mean that the abused wife continues to live with the husband who beats her. The loving thing to do, the thing that is in the best interest of the one who's doing the hurting, the victimizer, might be to blow the whistle, to press charges, to get help for a sickness that is out of control. But to do good, my friends, to love and forgive those who offend us is to refrain from hurting them in the same way they have hurt us. That's the only way you get true freedom. That's the only way. The ethic of grace, far from being an offense, is an invitation to take the offensive, to live positively instead of negatively, to stop playing the role of victim, and to start living a life of discipleship. We are not victims. We are disciples. Martin Luther King Jr. once wrote that forgiveness does not mean ignoring what has been done. It means rather that the evil act no longer remains a barrier to the relationship. We must recognize that the evil deed of the enemy never quite expresses all that he or she is. Because there is goodness, an element of goodness, found even in our worst enemy. I was once offered the gift of grace from an enemy, and it was transforming in my life. I was getting ready to move to a new church, and like they do, you go to meet your staff parish committee ahead of time. So I went down to meet this congregation and to meet the committee, the staff parish committee. And the meeting was very strange. It was very quiet. They didn't ask me any questions. They just wouldn't look me in the eye. And finally, the chairperson of the committee, who was a woman, spoke up and said, "We have to be honest, Pastor. We don't want you to come here." We don't want a woman pastor. We think it's wrong that the conference is sending you to us. They're punishing us for something we did. And so, as you can imagine, I was not really looking forward to this appointment and was feeling like this was going to be a mistake. But then on moving day, when I got into the parsonage, the doorbell rang. And lo and behold, when I opened the door, it was the chairperson of the staff parish committee. And she had a broom, a loaf of bread, and a salt shaker with her. And she smiled at me and she said, "I come from German stock, and there is an old tradition in our family. Whenever someone moves into a new home, they are given three gifts, a broom to sweep away the evil spirits, a loaf of bread to make their house into a home, and a pinch of salt to bring good luck." And then she said to me, "I want to welcome you as my new pastor." That day, she rose above whatever it was that was keeping her from accepting me, and she changed a relationship of hostility into a relationship of grace. That day, she decided to love her enemy, and I felt like I had come home. Now, these are difficult words that we've been listening to in the Sermon on the Mount, and these words from Matthew are not spoken to the world at large. They're spoken to people who have chosen to follow Jesus. And I think pretty much everyone here, if I'm not mistaken, has chosen to follow Jesus. Jesus knew that non-followers, non-believers, could neither understand or honor such a difficult ethic to live by. These words are spoken to disciples, to believers who are following Jesus. These words are spoken to us, people who have chosen to be yeast in a world that needs the fullness of God's grace. My prayer is that this day we may hear these words and do them to the glory of God. May it be so for you, and may it be so for me. Amen.
What a great message, and we're certainly glad to have you here, Pastor Esther.
Thank you.
Never gave you that broom and bread, then
okay.
We owe you. If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we will sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord."
our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest now and abide with you as you leave this place. Go in